Hey, everybody, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Clayton Morris. This is the show where we talk about passive income and reaching financial freedom. And the vehicle that we use is real estate investing. It's how I've reached financial freedom, and it's the goal that we talk about here on the show, buy and hold real estate for the purposes of creating legacy wealth. And I apologize, I'm still a little under the weather, so you'll have to suffer from my frog in my throat and my congestion, which doesn't suit a broadcaster very well, and there's no way around it. I'm happy to field any home remedies you have. I've tried them all, though, so I don't know if there's anything else out there, like stand on my head or something. But we've got a great guest lined up for you today, and I'm really excited because I had an opportunity years ago. It was one of the first courses I ever took in real estate, and I was back in Philadelphia at the time, and was kind of struggling in my career and really, you know, looking for a way to really break into real estate. And I saw something on television, I think, and then online from my guest, Larry Goins. And I ended up ordering the course, going through it, and just a world opened up to me. And this was early 2000s, I think. And it just changed my life, changed the trajectory of my life. And I'm thrilled to have Larry on the show today. Larry is a national educator and speaker in the real estate industry. He's worked, he has an office, an investing office in Lake Wylie, South Carolina, and a radio show. It's a flagship radio show in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's been investing in 12 different states. Larry's one of the largest HUD property buyers in the Carolinas. He's also authored the books HUD Homes Half Off and How to Get Started in Real Estate Day Trading. He teaches a whole lot of different courses, and he's got a storied career in real estate investing. And we're going to talk some HUD today on the show. Larry, welcome.
What's going on, buddy? How you been?
I've been better, but I'm glad to have you here. Oh man, it's going around. Everyone's got it. But enough about me, Larry. It's been a real treat to get you here on the show. And I 15 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that, is when I first kind of dove in and started really learning about what you were teaching back then. I just on a high level, what's changed for you, or have the same things still applied in your journey since that time, you know, in the early 2000s? Are you still doing the same thing, or have you veered to a different strategy?
You know, that's a really, really good point. You know, I've always been about trying to automate as much of your business as you can. And real estate is a team sport. As you well know, in what you do, you've got to have different people on your team. And it's always been a team sport. But what I try to do is automate absolutely as much of it as I can. And one of the cool things that I love about HUD houses is, you know, you don't have to worry about bandit signs or direct mail or any of that stuff. It's all done online.
That's great. And yeah, I mean, you know, automation for your business, I mean, that's key with our teams where we are in the Midwest and different offices that we have. You know, we've got clients all over the world. There are pieces that are essential to be automated. And for me, it's like when certain things come into the office and we're repeating those same tasks over and over again, or we're going through five hoops just to get to that, you know, that one end result that we know that we could do by just jumping through one hoop. That's when we start analyzing internally, how can we change this to be more, how can we change this to be automated? At what point, Larry, do you decide to automate a piece of your business?
If I can find a way to take me out of the system.
I agree. That's where I like to be too. Yeah. I just get in the way. So if you can get me out of the system, my contractors know what they're doing. I don't need to be involved. So let's talk about, you know, off-market properties. It all starts there. I mean, that's what the core of my business is built around, is being able to get those properties, you know, off market, deeply discounted. And that's how with my buyers and clients able to get them such a high ROI on the back end, you know, be 10, 12% cash on cash return, net cash on cash return. But that all starts with getting them cheap on the front end. If I buy a package of 20 properties or whatever, and we've got to go through and clean them up and rehab the heck out of them, and HUD is a huge part of that process. How did you fall in love with HUD to begin with?
Well, you know, I remember years ago in the 80s, and I've been doing this since the 80s, but I remember my very first deal, Clayton, was an FHA non-qualifying assumable loan. You probably don't remember those, but, no. But that was my very first yeah. deal. Used to be an investor or anybody could take over an FHA loan. And and assume it without qualifying and without liability. But there's so many people took advantage of it. Even investors took advantage of it and then would collect the rents and stop making the payments. But so they did away with it. And those loans, the last loan I think they made doing that was 1978.
Wow.
So those eventually, you know, matured and were all paid off. But I just love HUD houses, you know, and HUD doesn't make loans. That's something everybody needs to know. HUD basically insures loan. When somebody gets an FHA loan, they're going to go to a bank like Bank of America or Wells Fargo or Chase, and one of those banks is going to make a loan that qualifies as an FHA loan, meeting their underwriting guidelines. And if so, that then FHA or HUD will insure that loan, meaning a portion of the payment will go to pay insurance premiums. And then if and when the borrower defaults, then Bank of America, if they've made that loan, they can go back to HUD and say, hey, we want to cash in our insurance policy. So then HUD buys that loan back from the bank, and then they foreclose on it. And that's how a HUD house becomes a HUD home.
Hmm. So what is the usual life cycle of that property until it becomes a HUD home?
Well, it just depends on if and when they default. If you know, a borrower might default in the first year, they might default in year 5 or 15 or 25. You know, they're usually, you know, 30-year loans. I've seen them a little bit longer, but typically 30-year loans. And you know, and anytime they default, the bank is going to basically get HUD to buy that loan back, and then HUD's going to foreclose on it. Once they foreclose on it, they hire an asset manager that is an approved HUD asset manager for that state to market the property, and they're going to hire an agent. One of the cool things about HUD is they do a lot of the homework for us because they have what's called a PCR, property condition report. And in that property condition report is all the major items, the roof, the foundation, the wiring, the plumbing, the HVAC, and the appliances. And those are all the major things, so we can tell if any of those things need work before ever looking at or bidding on the property.
So you can see that just looking at their report. You don't even need to send your acquisitions manager out to the property to take a look at it.
Correct. In fact, we bid on probably a couple hundred HUD houses a day in all over the Carolinas.
All over the Carolinas. And what does that process look like? I mean, you have to put up cash on hand, and how does that, you know, what sort of pre-qualifying do you need to have in place to be able to do that?
Great question. Well, all HUD bids are made at HUDHomeStore.com. HUDHomeStore.com. That's the only place in the world you can buy a HUD house. Now, all bids are submitted by an agent, a real estate agent, with what's called an NAID number.
An MAID number. And so, yeah, and there's usually, I've, you know, done a bunch of these before. They have to be qualified. So there's not, you know, you're not going to find a ton of these realtors in your community, right?
Well, actually, it doesn't take very long to get an NAID number. Any agent can do it. But most brokerages that an agent works for will already have an NAID number. It stands for National Identifier. All that means is they have to have a number they can enter in when they submit their bids for you.
Okay. So when you're submitting the bid, what sort of paperwork do you need to bring to the table in order to do that so you're not wasting that agent's time?
Right. Well, a lot of agents, especially if they don't know you yet, they're going to want to probably, you know, put an offer in writing, have a deposit, and make sure you're qualified either with a proof of funds letter or a copy of your bank statement or whatever. But technically, you don't need any of that to submit a bid. All you really need is the name of the buyer and the case number. All HUD houses are based on case number. You don't even put the address in. You just put in the HUD case number and the bid amount. And then you need to know who's the buyer's agent and what the bid is, and the buyer's agent or company NAID number, and then they submit the bid online. And it's a very quick process.
And then you just kind of sit back and wait?
Yeah. In fact, HUD is a daily auction. Every day, you can bid on the same property every day, which is what we do. We bid on every house in North and South Carolina every day in the entire state. Although we've done these deals in 12 different states right from our offices, we primarily bid in the Carolinas, all over the Carolinas. And in fact, we just got a deal a couple of weeks ago. It was listed for $76,000, and they accepted a bid of $26,600, which is 35% of list price.
Hmm. Now, talk me through some of your criteria for making your decision on how much you're going to offer. It sounds like the list price that was listed on the HUD Home Store was not where you wanted to be. And is that price close to market value, above market value, right at market value, a little bit below?
Well, that's a good question, because a lot of times the list price is already a little bit below market. So we've already got a little bit of room to work with. Now, this is not true everywhere. I mean, you know, if you're in Orange County, California, and some of the real hot areas, Phoenix, Arizona, Tucson, you know, Denver, Colorado, some of the hot markets, you know, they know that the market's hot. It's a seller's market. So, you know, they're going to have the prices up there. But generally speaking, in the markets like you and I buy in, they're typically already listed below market. They have that PCR, so you can tell, you know, what kind of major work it needs. They're not going to tell you if it needs paint and carpet, countertops, but the major items. Another thing I love about HUD is they've already been cleaned out. If the house smelled, they've already removed the carpet as well. And there's no deed restrictions. You can turn around and resell it very quickly. You can buy it and sell it the same day if you want to and make as much money as you can, and they don't care.
Right. In a short sale situation, there's often what 60, 90 day deed restriction, or even longer sometimes. After you buy it, they want you to live in it, basically. They don't want you flipping it, or they want you to fix it up and, you know, make sure that you're doing the right thing by it.
Exactly. Even some bank owned properties, and like Fannie Mae, they'll have like 90 day seasoning where you can't make any more than 10 or 20% for the first 90 days. So you literally have to sit on a property. Now, I'm like you, I'm a firm believer in holding real estate long term for passive income, but we also buy, sell to generate the money to buy properties to hold for long term.
How many deals would you say you do in a week?
Wow, it kind of varies. We do anywhere from 1, 2, or 3. I've done as many as 15 or 20 in a month.
Wow. So your team in place making these auction bids. Now, are you bringing cash? Or what? I'm sorry, maybe I missed it. Are you allowed to do financing on these properties, or is this straight cash deals? Or is that, it's really up to, just like any real estate transaction, it's up to, hey, what's the best offer that we got on this place? That person's cash, let's take it.
Well, whenever HUD is selling to an investor, which, by the way, when HUD sells a property, when they first list it, typically there's exceptions to every rule, but typically they're only going to allow owner-occupied buyers to bid for the first, say, 15 days. I've seen it anywhere from 0 days to as long as 30 days, but typically right now in today's market, it's around 15 days. So after that 15 days, it becomes what's called an extended listing. Now anybody can bid on it, including investors. So anybody can do that. Now, if you're an investor and you're bidding on a property, you can finance it any way you want. You could bring $100 bills to the closing. HUD doesn't care. However, no offer from an investor can be contingent on financing. And they don't allow you to put any extra clauses in the contract. If you bid, you're going to put up your deposit. And if you don't close, you'll never see that deposit again. There are no contingencies or subject to an inspection or anything like that.
Right. So now I've definitely bid on these properties before, and I've won, and I've missed bids. You know, people outbid me, and the prices where it was above my asking price where I wanted to be. I haven't done a ton of them. And of course, it's an auction. You go back and forth, and you kind of have to make sure you set your limit, right? So I know that on a house in Pennsylvania that I couldn't go above 60. I knew that, you know, just on the looks of it and what I like to do with my properties, it was going to take me about 10,000 to 12,000 just to get it up to par. And I wasn't going to go above 60. And I think the market value was right around 75, you know, roughly 72. Right. And, you know, I was outbid on it. So when you go into this, what is your strategy for saying, or you don't end up like you're in Vegas and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to play another round. I'm just going to keep going.
Exactly. Well, it really kind of depends on what I can do with the property. If I'm, say, day trading it, wholesaling it, like the book you mentioned earlier that I wrote, if I'm doing that, I'm just going to simply take ARV after repaired value times 0.7 minus the repairs minus what I want to make, and that's how much I can bid. And unlike negotiating with sellers or other banks, I put the maximum in there because, I mean, HUD is just a daily auction. I can bid the same thing every day. So I don't worry about negotiating, going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I just put the maximum I can pay. And every day, whenever I put my bid in, one of three things are going to happen. Either the bid's going to expire and nobody has any further obligation, or they counter me, or they accept my bid.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Dell. Are you looking to get a new printer? Well, I know it might not seem like the sexiest thing in the world, but I had this old stinking printer. It's just a black and white printer. And I got so sick and tired of overpaying for all the ink and it never working as well as I needed it to. Dell has done some amazing things in the printer space. So, and by the way, if you want to get 40% off your next printer, you just got to go right here, dell.com/real. That's R-E-A-L, like real estate, dell.com/real. And your discount will only apply after you've added a printer to your shopping cart. And then you enter that code R-E-A-L during checkout. You're going to save 40%. That's almost half off a printer. So if you're thinking about picking one up, get one today. But they've got some amazing new printers over there. So I just got one of these new multicolor function printers from Dell. And that's why I want to talk about it. So if you want to print photos, you know, we take so many pictures of the kids, and with their Dell photo paper, you can print out really high quality photos so you don't have to ship them off. Half the time we take them with our iPhones and we never end up using those photos, putting them in actual frame. That's another reason to get a great, beautiful Dell multicolor function printer. They just look fantastic. Plus, you can lift up the top, take simple photocopies, and if you're in the real estate business like us, you have so many documents you have to deal with, right? So Natalie has her folders upstairs where we're printing out different closings. We have different HUD agreements after our closings. We've got all of those tax documents. You need to have a good printer that can handle it. And that's why Dell is so good in this space right now, because what they've done is they've made their printers fantastic where you're not spending more on ink. This is what they've done. What's really cool is printers are expensive to maintain because of all the high cost of the ink and toner, not with Dell's. They have great pricing on the printer and the freedom to use it at any time or all the time. And the way that they use the ink is way more cost efficient than the one that I have sitting right here, this older black and white one. I feel like as soon as I put the ink cartridge in, it's already needing a new one. Not with these Dell printers. They have great prices, super low prices, and they have great selection. So they don't have any sort of middleman to drive up the price of these printers. So again, you want 40% off of your next Dell printer. Go over to dell.com/real. You got to go to that URL. And then when you're checking out, you get that discount, that 40% off, by putting in the code R-E-A-L at checkout. We thank Dell for their support of the Investing in Real Estate podcast. I mean, look, we all need them. They're not super sexy, but we need them to run our real estate businesses. So check them out. Go to dell.com/real today and check out. Just look at all the different printers they have, and maybe one will catch your eye. Thanks, Dell.
You're working with the government here, so there's not a lot of back and forth. There's not a lot of gray areas, right? I mean, that's good and bad, right?
Well, it is, you know, and I've noticed, here's a very, very important key, is I've noticed the sweet spot for getting offers accepted at 40, 30, even 20% of list price is once it's been on the market about 60 to 75 days. Now, that's not true all the time, but for the most part, as a general rule, once the property's hit 60 to 75 days, you can start to see them coming down on what they will take on a property. However, I was really surprised on that property I mentioned to you earlier. It was listed for 76. We got an offer accepted of 26.6, and Clayton, it had only been on the market for 16 days. I couldn't believe it.
So one day after the seasoning period, or one day after they're allowing owner occupants to buy the property, you jump in that next day and take action on it.
Exactly. It blew me away. 35% of list price. They hadn't even lowered the price yet. But listen, in all fairness, it was out in a semi-rural area, but still 35% of list price after 16 days, that's unheard of. I thought they made a mistake. I told our closing person here in the office, Alyssa, I said, make sure you get that paperwork in. It's correct. And make sure you get that deposit in, because I don't want to take any chances on them coming back and say we made a mistake.
Now, on a deposit like this, I know in New Jersey where I'm at, I forget what the deposit was on one that I needed to do. Maybe it was like $15,000. What was it like? What does a normal deposit look like on one of these properties?
Well, now, I don't know about maybe what it used to be, but now HUD has the exact same deposit all over the country. I've never seen anything different. Is if the accepted bid is $50,000 or less, the deposit from an investor is going to be $500. If the accepted bid is over $50,000, it's going to be $1,000. I've never seen it any different. Now, I've had some people that tell me, well, my realtor told me that I needed to put 10% down or 20% down. That's your realtor trying to get more money out of you to make sure you close. That's all.
Interesting. So now, what does a realtor take out of this situation? Because again, the realtor has to file these bids, right? You can't just go through the website. They have to do it on your behalf, right?
Exactly. Every HUD house is listed with the listing agent. In other words, HUD hires the asset manager for the state that works with HUD. The asset manager hires an agent to list the property, and they have a co-broker in there. It might be, let's say 6% total commission and 3% for the listing agent and 3% for the buyer's agent. Now, you can adjust the buyer's agent commission. In fact, one of the things that we do, because I work with the same buyer's agent in every house across North and South Carolina, I've negotiated with my buyer's agent for a reduced commission of $500 flat fee for every house I buy, and I'm doing all the work. I pay for their assistant to put in the bids every day, so it's like found money for them. However, all HUD cares about is net to HUD. That's all they care about. So having said that, you and I could bid the exact same amount, but if my agent was willing to accept a lower commission, they'll accept my bid before they would yours.
Interesting. Okay, so let me just be a pessimist here for realtors. Look, my dad's a realtor, my wife's a realtor, I love realtors. Is this just them getting their hands in the cookie jar? I mean, you know, the National Association of Realtors buddying up with the government saying, cut us in on this, because frankly, just using a website, they could publish these houses up there with their reports, and we don't really need to work with the realtor, do we?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because I've said many times, what is the agent doing in this situation? They're not doing anything. They're not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the website. I've already made my decision. I'm bidding on the property and I'm taking action on it. Well, what is that person doing other than just making money off of me in between this situation?
Exactly. And that's why I hired my buyer's agent, an assistant, to sit there and put bids in for 3 hours a day.
So closing process. Now, once you've got that bid accepted, you find out that your $1,000 or your $500 has been accepted, that deposit is gone. You're never getting that back now that it's been accepted, and you've got to take action on that to come to the table to close. How much time do you have to get your money, your funds together in order to take action on that property?
Well, typically you're going to put in like a 30 or a 45 day closing time frame, and whatever, let's say that 30 days. Let's say you set it up for 30 days when you put your bid in. If you can get an extension, however, you have to pay for the extension. You know, you might pay, I've seen $50, $150 for that extension, and typically they'll grant you a 5 or a 10 day extension.
Okay, good. And then you wrap it up, you go to normal closing procedure. Do you do it all online, or do you have to go across a closing table?
You still use a closing attorney or title company depending on what's customary in your state. Now, HUD used to have their own attorneys and title companies that you had to use them. However, HUD was paying them so little, the attorneys and title companies could not hire really good staff. So myself, when that was going on, I had my own attorney, and they would deal with HUD's attorney to make the transaction go more smooth. But now, HUD does not have their own attorneys, and you can use whoever you want to. So we have one that we use in North Carolina and one we use in South Carolina, as well as other states when we're buying in other states.
That's I see on their website now, it says you know buyer can choose their closing agent. So yeah, depending on your state, North Carolina, I know I've done bought and sold land in North Carolina and some houses in North Carolina as well. And that is an attorney state. If you go to some of the other states, you're dealing with title companies only, so you don't have to use attorneys. That's great. That's great. Overall, I mean, if someone wanted to get started with this strategy, what advice would you give to them if someone's just starting out?
Well, number one, they need to get a little bit of education, learn a little bit about it, because with HUD, I wouldn't say it's like an auction in the sense you bid, you bought, because you can always back out, but you will lose your $500 or $1,000 deposit. But I think they need to, number one, get educated, and then just start slowly bidding on properties. I mean, we have a whole model that we use. We have a shotgun approach and a rifle approach to bidding and a lot more things about HUD houses. In fact, you know, I wrote that book, HUD Homes Half Off, and you and I had a conversation about it, and we'll be glad to give all of your listeners a free copy of that book if you'd like.
Right. So if anyone wants a free copy of Larry's book, HUD Homes Half Off, just come over to our website. Just go to morrisinvest.com/episode146, episode 146. And right there in the show notes page for Larry's episode, you'll see a link to download a free copy of the book, which is great. You know, Larry, when I think about, you know, the strategy and getting some education in this, you know, wanting to pull the trigger, it really does. It reminds me of just people who want to take action and set up systems. We talked about automation and systems, because I think the difference between people who are successful in this business are just the slight systems that they build in order to take action on real estate. Now, I imagine with a 15-day seasoning period for, you know, a bidder, an owner-occupant, in your office, you need to have alerts set up. You need to know that when you guys get in the office that morning, that these properties are popping and are now available. They've elapsed that time limit, and we need to jump on them because there are other people who are sleeping in today.
You know, that's a good point, because like whenever properties become available, yeah, you can search on HUDHomestore.com. You can search for owner-occupied, investor, nonprofit. So every day we do a search, and then you can export that search, and we merge that spreadsheet with our own spreadsheet, which, by the way, comes with the book. You'll be able to download the spreadsheet, and we merge that spreadsheet so we can tell when it's the very first day on the market or the 15th day on the market or whatever it is, because we're only searching for properties that meet the criteria of being available to investors.
That's great. That's amazing. So you're looking at that criteria. You're being able to skip over all of those things. I mean, when I first started using Craigslist and being able to scrape Craigslist and calling on deals and finding off-market properties, I didn't just do it randomly. I had it pulled into a spreadsheet. I was following up on it. I was taking action on it. And I'd be on the phone for hours, but that's how you make deals happen.
Right. You're exactly right.
Well, Larry, this is great. This is great information for people that want to go out and start to try to find some off-market properties in your backyard, or heck, wherever you want to find them. And then, of course, the next step, though, once you find that property, right, you're able to do some due diligence by looking at that report. But unless you've got a team in place, unless you've, you know, and if you're going to use this property for buy and hold investing, you're going to need that next step, which is those contractors, which are those people that you trust to go out and actually take a look at the property, walk the property, confirm what's on that report. You don't want to come to find out that, hey, there's just a bunch of termites holding hands here, right? And you're gonna put a tenant in this property that you just bought through HUD Home Store. Chances are now you own it. You know how difficult it is to get a hold of the government if you find a problem, right?
Exactly. Well, you know how their contracts are. As is, where is, no warranties, no guarantees, no nothing.
Right. Well, yeah, it's yours at the end of the day. So what recourse do you have? I mean, you're buying it without any restriction, any clauses. You're not able to add anything to the contract. Do you have time to go out and check out the property in the meantime?
Well, the way it works is, let's say I put in my bid on Monday. They accept it on Tuesday, because remember, HUD is a daily auction. If they don't accept it on Tuesday or counter, you know, it's just everything expires, okay? So having said that, you put in your bid on Monday. Let's say they accept it on Tuesday. You have 2 business days to get your deposit and the contract, signed contract, into the asset manager. So if they accept it on Tuesday, you have until Thursday to get your paperwork in. It doesn't give you much time to go out and look at the property. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to drive the streets online. We're going to pull comps. We're going to pull rent comps. We're going to look at the pictures. We're going to look at the PCR very closely and see what we can find out. But for the new investor, if you want to have a little bit more time, always make your offers on Thursday only. That way, you make it on Thursday, they accept it on Friday. You have 2 business days to get the contract and deposit in. So now you have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You have 4 days instead of 2.
Ah, that's a pro tip right there, folks. That's good to know. That's like, don't go to a restaurant on, don't go to a seafood restaurant on what, Sundays or Mondays? Because they don't have time to get the fresh seafood like on
there
the weekend.
You go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. Well, Larry, this has been a great education, and we'll have to have you back. I'll have you back every few months. Heck, we got so many topics we could talk about, but I'm glad to be able to talk about HUDs exclusively here in your wheelhouse. So awesome. If people want more information, they can come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/episode146. Episode 146, and you can download a free copy of Larry's book. Larry, what's next for you, my man?
And just trying to have some fun and make some money, getting ready to go on a cruise here this weekend and, spend about a week with fellow investors. I'll actually be speaking on it, but it'll be a lot of fun. We go every year, and it's kind of my working vacation, so we have a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, I need to get out of this cold weather and get some palm trees and some margaritas right now. Well, Larry, it's been a real treat having you here on the show. And like I said before, the first course I ever bought years and years ago about buying and selling real estate and getting started back then. So thanks for that. And thanks for kickstarting my brain into thinking about real estate investing.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
My thanks to Larry Goins. You can go over to our website, morrisinvest.com/episode146, to get a copy of Larry's book and to see all of the show notes that we've got over on our show notes page. We publish this podcast Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And of course, we will be back next week with another episode of the Investing in Real Estate podcast. And thanks so much for pushing this up to the tops of the iTunes charts. And thanks to all of you for your very kind 5-star reviews. It always helps other people discover the podcast. Thanks, everyone. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. We'll see you next time, everyone.